You are now looking at a photo of the largest ever gathering of Epstein survivors. Over 100 survivors, many of whom have told their story before, but some who have never ever come forward, bravely gathered at Capitol Hill and told their stories today. Not only are we going to listen to their testimony, listen to videos of them, but I also want to talk about the broader effort to shut down this movement. Not only shut down the release of the files themselves, but Donald Trump is actively trying to stop gatherings like this from happening. And people in his cabinet, people in his administration, were openly threatening Republicans who voted for this discharge petition. Let me explain, and then we'll dig into the survivors' stories. So we learned last night that the Trump White House was threatening GOP lawmakers if they signed Representative Thomas Massie's petition to release the files. They said it will be treated as a, quote, hostile act. This is not how innocent people act. This is how cover-ups get enforced. Dave points out, a hostile act is a threat. So why would Trump feel threatened? Why would it be a hostile act towards him unless the answer is the most obvious one, that he could potentially be a major player in the very thing that they are investigating? I want you to listen to Representative Thomas Massie's answer when asked about this hostile act. Keep in mind, Thomas Massie is a Republican who is leading the charge, along with Representative Ro Khanna and a few other Democrats. So this is a Republican being asked, how do you feel about being a hostile act?
But you're confident you'll get the signatures?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's a strong effort from the White House. They're literally calling it a hostile act to sign this discharge petition now. And I don't know if that's precedented in this country to have a president call legislators to say that they're engaged in a hostile act, particularly when the so-called hostile act is trying to get justice for people who've been victims of sex crimes.
Justice for the survivors. That's what this is all about, as we'll see in one moment when we listen to these videos. But I know that Representative Massie is doing a good thing here, but it's just rich to hear a Republican claim that Trump is doing something unprecedented that kind of spooked him. Like, really? Were you there at all during the first 4 years or the first 6 months of this term? Everything he does is an unprecedented power grab. Let's watch this video. In this video is Annie Farmer, somebody who was abused by Epstein in his very early days. You can hear the pain in her voice as she says, why wasn't this properly investigated in the late 90s, early 2000s? Why did this go on for like a decade, over a decade and a half? Take a listen.
My name is Annie Farmer, and I was 16 years old when I was flown to New Mexico to spend a weekend with Epstein and Maxwell. That same year, 1996, my sister, Maria Farmer, reported what happened to me there, along with reporting her own assault at their hands and their theft of sensitive photos of herself, of me, and our younger sister that she had taken for her work as a figurative painter. I am now 46 years old. 30 years later, we still do not know why that report wasn't properly investigated, or why Epstein and his associates were allowed to harm hundreds, if not thousands, of other girls and young women. We have never been told whether those images were found when they discovered a large amount of child sexual abuse material on his property. As a psychologist, I understand that when the systems meant to protect us recreate the abuse cycle, the betrayal that occurs can be just as damaging as the original trauma. This happens when survivors of these crimes are not believed, when our well-being is not weighed as heavily as those who have more resources or more privilege, and when perpetrators of these crimes are given a platform rather than the survivors of them. For so many years, it felt like Epstein's criminal behavior was an open secret. Not only did many others participate in the abuse, it is clear that many were aware of his interest in girls and very young women and chose to look the other way because it benefited them to do so. They wanted access to his circle and his money. Their choice to align with his power left those of us who had been harmed by this man and his associates feeling very isolated. I could never have imagined being here today and this chorus of support that we have all received.
That was Annie Farmer. We have other survivor testimony in just one second, but something that she says here is very, very crucial. I know that we talk about this a lot in the context of the current administration, because the current administration is dropping the ball, lying to our face, and Trump keeps going on these weird tantrums online and on camera where he talks, he'll like yell at his own supporters, say, I don't even want your support. Then he'll go on Air Force One and talk about Virginia Giuffre at the Mar-a-Lago spa. He just keeps making it worse. That's why we talk about it in the context of this administration. But what Annie Farmer is describing here is a decades-long dereliction of duty on behalf of investigators in the United States. This is something that should have been investigated, needed to be investigated a while back. And the Trump administration is only the newest iteration of them dropping the ball, and I think the most clear iteration of them dropping the ball, because no other administration before this was so actively entangled in the personal life of Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, remember, Bill Clinton was friends with Epstein, but after he was president. So what I'm saying is, for these victims, and for us, it's like the most clear display of the Epstein dereliction of duty. Imagine being a victim of Epstein, seeing that he's best friends with Trump, being all around this environment, then 20, 30 years later, Trump becomes the president. Let's listen to Representative Robert Garcia breaking this down. He's been leading it along with, I said Ro Khanna earlier, but Robert Garcia has also been doing a great job. I want to make sure we're giving credit to everyone.
When you campaign for president and you demand and you say you're going to release the files, and you do this for years, and then you win and you completely flip-flop, that is a cover-up. We know that Pam Bondi has already told the president, and she's been clear, that he's in the files. It's been widely reported. And then we know that the president and Pam Bondi try to dismiss the files and not get them released. And so they have the power right now to get all the files out to the American public and to their supporters that they have betrayed over and over again. That release last night was a joke. The information was already public. We are demanding all the full files, and they need to comply with the subpoena immediately.
The Trump admin has done almost three fake releases of the files now. They did one a while back where it was just influencers walking out with binders that were empty. Then they released a bunch of files that had already been released and that were largely redacted. Then they did the same thing yesterday, without releasing the real files. Right here, we have a perfect display of the problem. Now, I know what's on screen is a little bit messy, but I'm going to decipher this. We have CNN reporting on the Epstein survivors speaking out. They have Courtney Wilde. We're going to listen to some of this in just one second. We have, over here, MSNBC, Epstein abuse survivors demand transparency. But if you notice, Fox News and Fox Business, they're talking about other things. We have a U.S. ambassador to NATO. Oh, I'm sure Fox News is always talking about how much they love NATO, right? No, they are conveniently talking about China at this very moment, while Fox News is talking about Zohran. I see Bill de Blasio talking about Zohran Mamdani. So you can tell there is a divide in the way things are being covered. I mean, shout outs. I mean, credit where credit is due to CNN and MSNBC for covering something that the mainstream media has failed to cover. On the Adam Mockler channel, we will be covering this relentlessly. We made one story today, multiple stories about this yesterday, while also covering troops coming to Chicago, the war in Gaza. We've made videos about all of these things, and we will continue to, so make sure you subscribe below. Let's watch this video. In this video, you see Epstein survivor Marina Lacerda giving her story.
Worst part is that the government is still in possession right now. Of the documents and information about that could help me remember and get over all of this maybe and help me heal. They have documents with my name on them that were confiscated from Jeffrey Epstein's house and could help me put the pieces of my own life back together. But I don't have any of it. And I know the same is true for many of these women. We are here to support this bill today, not only for transparency, but for the American people. But if the government is going to release these documents to the public, describing the crimes committed by Jeffrey Epstein and others, The least that they can do is give me my documents that they have about me. The other survivors deserve the same respect from our government. While our identifying information must be redacted to the public, it is equally important to provide the victims themselves with unredacted information. I will never forget when the FBI agent showed up in my door in 2008. Jeffrey Epstein hired a lawyer to represent me, or more like to represent him, I'd like to say. I couldn't ask any questions, and I had no idea what was going on. I was terrified. Until today, I think most of us are still terrified. I thought somebody was going to kill me. I thought something was going to happen to my sister or my mother. It went further out to even maybe thinking something would happen in Brazil with my family. And then one day, the lawyer said that everything was just going to go away. Like nothing happened. I didn't need to testify. When I asked him why, he gave no explanation. That was it. So why? Why was I never called to testify then? We could have saved so many women. We could have saved so many lives from being abused.
That's another lens that you can look at it through. Not only the preventative measures that could have been taken, but when Jeffrey Epstein is a billionaire, or reported billionaire, the sources of his wealth are a little bit mysterious, but when he has teams of lawyers threatening young girls, then obviously it's just going to scare them. People don't know what's happening. That's why a lot of these survivors are demanding access to the files in any way. They want to understand what happened. They don't fully grasp, as we heard Marina say right there, she doesn't fully remember or understand this period of her life because she was young. Her brain is clouded by memories of lawyers just looming over her shoulder, watching her every single step. Here is Epstein survivor Jenna Lisa Jones telling her story.
A person who has chosen to serve in an elected position to stand up for those you represent who cannot always stand up for themselves. We are those people. We are the Americans that you promised to protect. And we need your help. Please, President Trump, pass this bill and help us. Make us feel like our voices are finally being heard. Thank you.
Again, this was a very large gathering. Aaron Parnas reports it is the largest ever rally of Epstein survivors happening right now on Capitol Hill. I see signs that say, "Stop protecting predators." Want to know where they are? Listen to the survivors. Listen to the survivors. I'm going to leave it there. If you appreciate these videos, drop a like, subscribe. I'll see you all in the next one, and peace out.